Welcome to
Man's Book Club.
Man's Book Club.
I didn't lose the voice.
Wow, we're back, baby.
We're back. It's 2024.
We're back by popular demand. People did not leave us alone. When are you going to post the next episode?
Begging.
When are you going to post the next
episode? Literally in the streets. They're like, are you the guys?
A couple of guys knocked on my door. A couple of guys knocked on my door. Yeah.
My boss asked.
Your boss asked? Yeah. The same. I don't understand.
I hate being put on the spot.
We're back, baby.
He said he'd fire me if I didn't do it.
That's why we're doing it, actually. This is all for financial purposes.
What's it when you get arrested, but you don't go to jail? Community
probation.
Service.
Community service. Okay. All right. So we're back, baby. And we're going to be better than ever, I think. But
maybe not better.
But one thing.
Mainly the same.
One thing has not changed.
The books.
Margaret Atwood is still shit. Okay, here we go, baby. We have to let it out first.
She's, you know, I came around. No, she is shit.
I took a year hiatus, and I have reflected, and I am certain,
and I'm
that she's still shit. Okay, now that we got that off,
I read the one book, and I'm done.
She has a good show. There's a good show on Netflix that was created by Margaret Atwood. I'll give you that. Kudos to you. I know she listens, so I have to give her some props.
Or only listener.
Yeah. She's only she just listens.
She's waiting. She wants to know when it goes good for her.
Margaret Atwood, all you have to do to get in our good graces is write a good goddamn book.
Or
that's
die.
It. Oh, my God. So nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. All right, Matt, guess what we're here for?
A book.
Yes, a book. A book. This book is The Lovely Bones by Alice Sebold. I think that's how you pronounce that last name. We're going to go with it. S-E-B-O-L-D.
Yeah, I think that's the name.
I think that's the name. Apparently, this book came out a long time ago.
It's a lovely book.
I had no idea. Good one. 2002. Never heard of this book.
Really?
No, I never heard of it.
I think you did hear of it.
I've never heard of this book.
Yeah, you heard
of it. I picked this book up thinking that it came out like a year or two ago because I was like, I've never heard of this book. And I looked at the front cover and it said 2002. My wife actually came by and she was like, oh, I remember reading this in high school. And I was like, what the fuck?
I think we went to a bookstore and you
oh, I'm sure you pointed it out.
No, you had it in your hands. That's how I knew the book.
Oh, I had it in my hand.
I think your sister wanted to read it and you were going to buy it for her.
Oh, okay. If somebody asked me to pick it up for them, I'm not sure if she asked.
Yeah. I don't know. We were at a bookstore in New York City.
And this was in my hand?
It was in your hand because you said something. Maybe your sister just mentioned it and you had it in your hand and then you put it back.
That's insane. Possible. I have no recollection.
I think that's how I remembered the book.
Oh my God.
And that was like a year ago, two years ago. God.
What's happening?
Yeah, I think that's how.
Okay. Well, either way, I don't know what the book's about. So this was your recommendation. You kind of bought
bones.
The book. It's about bones and love. So quick synopsis of this book. This book is about a girl named Susie. I'm not giving anything away because this happens in the first like four pages. She gets raped. She's a 14-year-old girl. She gets raped and murdered by her next door neighbor, George Harvey. And the entirety of the book is basically how that affects her family, how basically they become unraveled in her death, how they all kind of, it's like a car accident, basically.
Yeah, and you know what's weird? It kind of reminded me of like a little bit of Midnight Library 2, because she kind of has her own heaven
type thing. Yeah, she's, it seems like heaven is not universal. It's depending on what you want your heaven to look like, and you kind of get placed in certain places, and if you don't leave Earth behind. And anyway, it's kind of weird. It gets a little bit strange, but at the end, she's watching her family, and she's watching her dad and her sister, her little brother, her mom, her friends, and basically their reaction to her dying. They don't have a body because the neighbor threw it in a sinkhole or something like that.
The town sinkhole.
Yeah.
Not many towns have that.
Yeah.
It was very convenient for him. He's like, you know what? Any towns have sinkholes around town? I'm going to move there.
And it just happens to be the next town over.
Yeah.
And obviously this guy's like a serial murderer. He's murdered other people in the past.
And they seem like they know it, but but nobody, he's like a little off.
Mm-hmm.
He's building dollhouses,
yeah.
Which in itself is not bad because I do that. But,
yes.
You know.
It's creepy.
I have a lot.
You actually murdered a few people. There is no high suspicion of him except by a few people, mainly her father, right, who seems to be, there's no reason for him to suspect him except like he has a conversation with him and he just feels like something's off. And then he tells the police officer a name of his wife, which is different than the name that he gave to her dad. And
that means he murdered, the daughter. Clearly.
Clearly. Two different names for your ex-wife. That means you murdered my daughter.
Okay, you're arrested.
No, but the cops don't believe him. They sort of go to question this guy, and they kind of describe him in the book as sort of he comes off as like innocent and poor, and like you feel bad for him almost in a way. So the cops are very sympathetic. He's trying to be a very good neighbor. He keeps saying that he's very understanding of what Susie's family's going through since her death. And then he almost tries to pin it on another guy. He's like, have you guys heard of, I think his name was Eli or Elliot or something.
I mean, you're a pro when you're trying to throw shade
at
your own, the murder you did.
Right, right.
Didn't he do this in other towns, mm-hmm. maybe? It's alluded to.
Right, yeah, they say that he's done this in
the
past.
I think the saddest part is that the girl from heaven can't, she tries to like guide them, but it just doesn't. You can't, I guess.
Yeah, so, I mean, as one would, that they're watching you from heaven, can't really interact with you at all. She kind of makes, like, almost, like, apparition. Like, she appears in front of them, and for a split second, or she, like, you know, puts out the candlelight that's there, or something like that. But, you know, she's not really there. They're just kind of, like, sensing her presence in a way. Kind of like, as I'm reading this, I'm like, that would freak. It's like a horror film. It doesn't even sound like a sincere thing. Like, if somebody's dead shows up, I'm moving out. Like, that's
I'm not hanging out with ghosts.
Yeah, I'm not hanging out with ghosts.
Even the friendly ones. Mm-hmm. Even if it's my daughter. Especially if it's my daughter.
Especially if it's
I only like people that are alive, okay?
Yeah, barely. So, anyway, the story kind of... I don't want to say that there isn't really a point, but it really is just the unraveling of the family. So we see her dad kind of give up drinking because he sees himself, he's about to be an alcoholic because he can't get over her death. Her sister is sort of like rebelling, but at the same time, she can't really forget about her, and her life is always has this weight on top of it from her sister dying. The young brother, who was, I think, 3 or 4 at the time, doesn't really remember her.
He's not, like, as affected. Well, he's affected, but in a weird, different way.
He sees, he notices something is missing, but he's not necessarily aware of, like, the concept of death.
The mom wants the policeman.
Yeah, the mom, for me, was one of the most intriguing ones because she almost, I don't know, it was like a blessing for her because they allude to this in the story throughout that she didn't want kids because she just wanted to get to the next point of
one
her life.
Down, two to get.
they actually have a line in the book where she's saying, I wished I didn't have kids and then God ended up taking one away from me. So I thought that was a very fascinating way of looking at it. But she packs she has an affair with the cop who's investigating her daughter's murder, and then she ends up leaving her family and leaving the cop and going to California and basically just living there for like 6 years or
did
something.
Did she come back? I don't
she
remember.
Did. Yeah, sure, okay. She did. She did.
To
because
the guy?
Her dad, because the dad, her husband, had a heart attack.
So she ends up coming back. And didn't her mother take care of the guy?
Yeah, her mother came and lived with them. The grandma came and lived with them. She's a very minor character, so there's not much there, but... her friend, Ruth, and the guy that she used to like, his name is Ray, end up becoming really close.
Ray's mother is the weirdest character to me.
Really?
Not weird in a way. Like, she's just so direct.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, wow, nobody's like this.
I liked it. I thought she was, like, not a bullshit person.
No, she was kind of like, I feel like she liked the husband.
Yeah, I thought they were going to make that happen.
Me too. But yeah. I think he was just... And it made so sense broken. Why the wife left, because he was so obsessed.
And
it's hard because if somebody dies, you're still alive.
Right.
And it must be a tough
thing. They didn't look at it that way. They looked at like it was almost like a part of them. Obviously, like, that's the way the book wanted to paint it, like a part of them was dead. But I think what honestly intrigued me a lot about the mom was that they were talking about how when she had the two girls, Susie and Lindsay, they were already, you know, about to be grown up, whatever, they were like 10 or 11 years old, and she knew that there were a few more years left before she could go back to teaching, and she really liked, like, mythology and Norse history and all that stuff, and then she ended up getting pregnant with their little brother, Buckley.
And she's like, fuck.
And that's when her life spiraled, and they kind of make it a point to show that she became very unhappy. She had like little spurts of happiness here and there, but deep down she was very unhappy. And it really trails back to the fact that she really didn't want that last kid. She didn't want any kids, but she didn't want that last kid.
Especially didn't want the last kid.
Right, because it kind of delayed that process. And I don't know, I thought it was fascinating for her to like use her daughter's death as an excuse to kind of live a little bit. I kind of liked her character. I really did. I thought it was like a wild card. I enjoyed it. Like, you would think that the mom would be more attached to her alive kids afterwards, but they kind of went the complete opposite way.
She's just like very detached.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, the story kind of, her sister ends up getting married. Her friend moves to New York. Her other friend is in medicine or going to college for to be a doctor. And then shit hits the fan for me. I gotta be honest with you. Listen, Alice, if you're listening to me, which I know you are.
Yeah, I think she is.
There is a part, and I want to know how you feel about this. When Susie comes back down to Earth.
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah.
Okay, so her friends come back to town when they are all grown up, or they're still in college, whatever. To witness the closing of the sinkhole. For whatever reason, that's an event that they need to come back to town for.
They knew she was in there.
They had no idea. And at the same time, George Harvey, her murderer, comes also back to town to the same sinkhole. Already weird. So
I actually buy him would come back, but not them.
At the same
time. No, not at the same time. But if they were closing the sinkhole and he knew he threw things in, I could
sure
and,
sure
I could buy him.
Yes, but he didn't come back for the sinkhole. He came back because he couldn't get over the obsession of her sister knowing. Because at some point throughout the book,
didn't he let you sneak?
Yeah, she snuck into his house and she stole what she thinks is evidence of where he buried his sister. It wasn't, but it freaked him out because he thought that she was going to do something.
Yeah, didn't she find it? I thought she found like the bunker.
She did, yeah. She found.
But then he kind of like escaped.
Yes, yeah.
So maybe I wouldn't come back.
He left town.
So maybe I wouldn't come back.
But 6 years later, he comes back to town for the sister.
His name is Harvey George now.
And she comes back, and his sister. I'm sorry. Her sister came back to town. Her murderer came back to town. Her friends both came back to town.
It's a cosmic event.
Right. It was so weird. And I get what you're saying.
It's like one of those like MacGuffins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh my God. We need to get them back.
So very strange to me because this author spends such a long time dissecting emotions and details and then throws this weird clusterfuck.
And not even that. I think the weirdest part is like she's not alive again, but she like.
Yeah. That is the weirder part. She's like a witch
or something.
So somehow. Her friend Ruth is always like in touch with like, you know, spirituality and stuff like that. But anyway, for whatever reason, which is not really explained all that well, her friend passes out and goes to heaven, and Susie ends up coming back to Earth in her body, in her friend Ruth's body.
And she has like, I don't know, not she doesn't know how much time.
She has no idea how it happened. She has no idea anything. But she ends up. In Ruth's body. So let's just put this in perspective. The girl that's been dead for, I don't know, 7 or 8 years is back on Earth.
Back, baby.
And what do you think she does? Because, hey, her family is still mourning. They can't get over it. They have no closure. They don't know where her body is. They still haven't admitted that she's dead. Like, her dad still is holding out hope. The family is in spiral mode. 8 years later, her murderer just passed by where she is. She saw him. Her friend Ruth saw her murderer, and that's when she passed out. So she knows her murderer is right down the road, who, by the way, is looking to murder her sister. Okay? Look at all of these events happening. So she gets down to earth, and her ex-boyfriend, who she only kissed one time, it wasn't really a boyfriend, the kid that she had a crush on, wakes her up and looks... This is hilarious. And instead of saying anything about her murder, her body, the guy that killed her, even uttering his name, saying anything, hey, my body is in the sinkhole and that man killed me, she goes and has sex with him
multiple times. That makes sense.
And then leaves.
What? Then tries to contact the family and it was too late.
What are you doing?
Does she call her family? And the
she calls her. It says in the book that they have sex in the shower, they have sex in the living room, and they have sex in a bunch of places. She had sex with this guy multiple times, and you got to imagine there's probably breaks in between. So she was on Earth for whatever 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. If we're giving them their kudos, whatever. You're on Earth for that long. And right after she's done, she's like, let me call my little brother. And she's not even calling to tell him what happened. She's calling just to say hi. And as soon as he picks up, her voice starts to dwindle and she goes back to heaven. What the fuck? Yeah. What? How? Somebody murders you and he's right down the street looking to murder your sister. Your body is right where you are. Your parents are mourning, and you're watching them mourn. You're watching your dad go through all of this pain, your mom going through all this pain, your friends, your siblings, you're going through all of this. They're all going through this pain. And you can end all of that pain by just saying, my body is in this sinkhole. The guy that killed me is George Harvey. He's actually looking to kill my sister also. And by the way, he killed a bunch of other girls. So stop him.
Well, I don't know if anybody would believe.
You know what? You know when they'll believe her? When they go in that sinkhole and find her body, or when they follow George Harvey and find that he does, by the way, go after another girl. Sex? That's what you came back to Earth to do? Multiple times, you fucking psychopath. And it's not like
she never had it before. George gave her a good time.
And that's why we left last time. We got canceled. Oh my god! But honestly, that was so. I don't know if the author like lost her mind or she just couldn't figure out what to do. There's an obsession with this book and sex that it was very odd to me, very weird. Like her mom was having sex. Like it opens with a sex scene. They do this, like, she comes back to Earth just to have sex. It was just it's very weird. And at some point, she's talking about how her dad was stroking her mom's hair. And she was like, I wish he was stroking my hair. It's just a very weird, very odd. It's very odd. Anyway, the book, you would think, you know what? She was high that day when she wrote those pages, right? Because they're all kind of clustered together. It ends with George Harvey, her killer, who has done all this bad shit and got away with it. How does that motherfucker die? Do you remember how he dies?
I don't.
He slips off a cliff. What cartoon shit is that? Well, are you kidding me?
They are pretty steep.
This man slips on ice and falls down a cliff and they don't find his body conveniently for days. I mean, come on. This is how you end an episode of a sitcom. That's not how you end a book. Insanity. Insanity. Everything up to the point of her coming back to Earth. Well, her friends really gathering, but her coming back to Earth and having multiple orgasms for whatever reason was kind of realistic. I honestly, like, the first couple hundred pages, I'm like, man, like, is my grandma, like, watching me all the time? Yeah, like, people, like, really, like, do they really keep, like, I don't know. It made me think. It was kind of cool. Like, the concept of somebody's in heaven watching you all the time, and they're trying to contact you with, like, these weird, subtle things, like candlelight or, you know, like a book falling. It was kind of cool.
It was also, like, you know, pretty sad, too, because I think they even say it's like she was like moments from home.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. I think they even say, like, if you're driving, like, the most dangerous spot is like places you know.
Right.
Because
right.
you probably do, like,
yes.
Not that she did anything wrong, but like that's the worst part. She was so close. Yeah. From just like, oh,
it was like two houses down. Yeah,
like walking home is any other day. And that hit me in the beginning. Yeah. So like, oh, shit. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, they're looking for her all over the town, and she's two houses down.
Yeah, yeah. And they kind of know it, but you can't prove it. Right. And yeah, that's I think that's what makes it sad. So I agree with you. I think, like, the beginning of the book and all that stuff, I thought it was crazy when she came back. I almost had to reread it, like, what was happening.
Yeah. I just couldn't believe that, like, okay, have the sex with this guy that you like, but also just at some point in between the four or five orgasms that you had, just say, hey, by the way, George Harvey killed me, and by the way, he's in town.
I mean, I'll chalk it up to her being still a kid, I guess, like, mentality, but
she's at this point watched everything unfold.
But she's also, I would say, oh, it's just a kid, but she also tried to nudge her family into catching.
Exactly. Exactly. So throughout the entire book, she wants them to know. And then she gets the opportunity to say.
It's not important.
Anyway.
I didn't mind, like, he died so much. I mean, slipping out, it is, like, just such a weird way.
It's a cartoonish way to die. Let's be honest. It's very cartoonish. But, I wanna rate this book, and then I wanna tell you one additional thing that has nothing to do with this book that was very interesting.
Okay.
All right. So what do you give this book? What would you rate this book?
Like a three.
Wow.
I think a three.
Okay. I think I would have been at three had she not done that orgy party, and had he not died cartoonishly, and had she not done all that weird everybody coincidentally meets at the same time. I'm giving it a 1.5.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to the ham.
Yeah, yeah. I loved the beginning of it. You know what? I'll give it 2 because the first 200 pages were good. So I'll give it a 2.
Like, I would say it's an average, but, like, I don't like giving 2.5. So it would be like 3 to me is like.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. I think for me, it's not amazing.
It's not the worst.
It's not the Latinist, and it's not.
No, I can see. That could take you, because it was a long.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a page.
Right. Exactly. It was like
two chapters.
Yes. Or whatever. It was, I think I remember reading it. It was from, like, up until page 260, it was fine. And then around, like, 260 to 330, which is a really long time, she botched it. And she botched it in a way that actually ruined the rest of it, because now you're telling me that all along, all these moments where you were trying to make us feel like she was hurt and she really wanted to help her family and she wanted to be there for her, and she wanted to help her dad, like, get over his, like, heartache and give him some closure. Instead of doing all of that, she just comes down and has sex. Like, that just ends. Boggles my mind.
I just give it a little bit more than it, only because in the beginning I felt like,
I get it.
But because they started off, like, they make it sad. Like,
yeah, yeah. I love that. I love that it was very realistic, and I like that story for that reason. It's just, what a botched
ending. And there is, like, something to, like, she was the oldest, and, like, the sister's gonna surpass her.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And because she's dead. And she'll get to do everything that she couldn't do. It's very interesting. It's very sad.
So this is the anecdote I wanted to tell you. Do you know about what happened with this author?
She died.
So everything I'm about to say is...
She met George Harvey.
Close.
Oh, okay.
Everything I'm about to say is what the internet said, so it's all alleged. So it's true.
So it's 100%.
Do your own research.
It's 100%.
So this woman was... went to college and actually ended up getting raped while she was in Syracuse University. She got molested and raped. I don't know the exact details, but she was walking home from someplace and walking on campus to her dorm.
So her inspiration for the bomb had to be.
Interestingly enough, right. She wrote another book. I forget the name of it. It was one word. It was like Awake or Always or something like that along those lines, where she basically details a very similar experience. Here's the kicker. She identifies the man. He goes to jail. He gets denied parole three times. He, in 2021, so 3 years ago, ends up actually getting acquitted because it wasn't him.
Oh.
Yeah. So she pointed to him being the guy who raped her.
Maybe that's why in this book.
This was, maybe.
No, but she couldn't have known that.
No. Because he maintained his innocence throughout the entire time. And she kept saying that it was him. And for what the criteria back then when this happened to prove a rape was somebody had to identify you, and then there was some sort of like hair follicle thing that they used to do. But since then, that has proven to be a very inaccurate way of doing it. So he actually ended up getting pardoned, acquitted. I don't think it's acquitted really, but he's able to, he got out of jail. I mean, after serving 16 years.
I sued
16 everybody. Years. No, he came out and was like, you know, like, I don't want to say forgiving, but he didn't come out guns blazing. I mean, I don't know what happened since then. Again, this is the internet, so some of it I don't believe. But she put a guy in jail for 16 years. He was denied parole three times. He went through four different lawyers, proving that he wasn't going to do it. And here's the best part. When she was identifying him, apparently she's saying that she didn't pick him, but the police officer there ended up like saying, oh, are you sure it's him? Because him looks like this guy.
I mean, they do that.
Sure, but the guy's in jail for 16 years and no remorse? No, like, let me double check. Let me go back and look into it. And she writes a book about the incident, makes gazillion dollars.
Is this her only book? No.
No. She wrote like four others. The other book that she wrote was about detailing that incident. Mm. He was an inspiration for it. She makes a bunch of money. She's rich as shit. And this guy is sitting in jail for 16 years for a crime he did not commit.
Maybe she should go to jail for 16 years.
And she comes out and does like a half-assed apology about like, oh man, I apologize.
Oh, shucks.
You're rich and I read that and I lost my mind. I'm like, botched the ending and botched somebody else's life. This lady. She's the new Margaret Atwood. Except she writes a little bit better. But my God, I couldn't believe that. When I read that, I was like, man, this is the perfect example of like, you can't just believe all women. You kind of got to do some due diligence. I don't know. Maybe she was like under stress. Maybe she's whatever. And I will give it to her if like a year later or 2 years later, she came to her senses. But she let this man serve 16 years until the courts decided to get rid of this way of testing. And then they did some sort of testing and found out it wasn't him. What?
Wow. At least he got out.
Yeah, 2021. I mean, look, again, all of this is on the internet. Some of it, most of this is on Wikipedia. So, you know.
I was just talking to my friend about this. It's why I don't actually believe in the death penalty so much. Mm-hmm. Because if you.
Right.
Because if you're like. If they killed him, for instance. Yeah. Like they murdered. Oh, well. Whoops.
Now I left the best part for last.
Oh, no.
He was black. And she thought he looked like another black guy.
Is she black?
No.
No.
That's what's funny. It's like she thought he looked like another guy just because he was black. Look, I don't know. She was in college at the time.
I mean, she's a kid. I will give her. You go through that. Maybe you, who knows?
100%. Look, if you got if you got raped, I'm sure. But at any point, do you go back and look at what happened to you and that guy and say, there was something happening at the police station. He is adamant about his innocence. He's trying to get parole. And he could get parole if he admitted to what he did. And he didn't, because mm-hmm. he maintained his innocence. At any point, do you go back and say, like, ah.
Nope.
But you just made money.
Well, she made a lot.
She made a lot. But anyway, that's our rating. That's the book. That was a roller coaster of emotions that I went through with this book. I'll tell you. Between the beginning, the end, then researching this lady, it was just a whole clusterfuck of emotions. That's for sure.
That's crazy.
So The Lovely Bones, Alice Siebold. Tell us what you guys think. You know?
Read it.
It's really good. Except the kind of the ending.
Just skip 30 pages.
Just skip the ending. Thank you guys for listening, and we will talk to you guys next time.
All right, see ya.